Hello there.
Hi, boys and girls, moms and dads, everyone.
Right now, Uncle Dan has a story adapted from the Holy Bible, the Book of Numbers, chapters 22 and 23. It's an unusual story, so unusual that it would be hard to believe were it not for the fact that it comes from the Bible.
And I'm going to call this story
The Unfaithful Prophet.
After having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, the children of Israel are preparing to enter the promised land of Canaan. Under the leadership of Moses, the Israelites now leave the wilderness and are encamped in the plains of Moab. Now the people of Moab are afraid and tremble at the presence of the Israelites. Balak, their king, however, is a shrewd and fearless monarch.
But I don't fear the Israelites.
Then why did you send a message to the Midianites that we are in danger of being consumed by the Israelites?
Because it's true. Moses and his followers have already conquered the Ammonites, and I...
His Majesty laughs at the humiliation and defeat of our neighbors.
Why not? The land they lost to the Israelites, they wrested from me in the first place. They should lose it. Serves them right.
Well, the officers of your court are saying that you are afraid of a similar destiny.
At the hands of the Israelites?
That's what's being whispered, Your Majesty.
I do not fear what I understand. And I understand the Israelites. I know how to deal with them.
There are persistent reports that the Israelites use supernatural agencies in winning battles.
It is true. It is the Israelite God who exercises supernatural power in their behalf.
Well, certainly His Majesty does not contemplate using arms against supernatural power.
I know that arms are helpless against supernatural agencies. I intend to follow the example of Pharaoh of Egypt. Like him, I shall enlist sorcery to counteract the power of the Israelite God.
Ah, but Pharaoh failed. He and his entire army were drowned in the Red Sea.
I shall not fail. I shall not use an army. I shall use only one man. He shall bring a curse upon Israel.
Curse by sorcery?
Israel shall be cursed by sorcery and defeated. Welcome to Moab, messengers from Midian. May your sojourn here be filled with sunshine and laughter and success.
Greetings to Balak, king of Moab. Hail to His Majesty. May the gods smile upon him.
Hail, Balak, king of Moab. Long live the king.
We are come, Your Majesty, because we wish to...
You are come because I sent for you. Danger of extinction by the Israelites threatens your land as well as mine. We must join forces, work together, and forever stamp out the threat.
Oh, His Majesty speaks with a wise tongue and a knowing heart.
Your country is prepared to cooperate?
Our king has authorized us to do whatever seems necessary to secure the safety of our country as well as yours, Your Majesty.
Well spoken.
His Majesty has a plan.
Ordinary weapons and methods are useless against the supernatural power of the Israelites.
Granted, Your Majesty.
Therefore, I propose to use their own power against them. Supernatural power.
Duh, brilliant. If it can be done.
I know of a man who has the power to pronounce a curse upon Israel.
A man?
A man living in Mesopotamia. His fame and power as a sorcerer and magician has long since reached my ears.
But it is the Israelite God who wins battles for the Israelites, and a man of Mesopotamia against a god?
Your doubts and misgivings are well founded. However, this man, Balaam, is the man
Balaam?
Who... Balaam. You've heard of him, too?
Oh, his fame and abilities are well known in Midian.
Then you agree that he is the one man who can successfully curse Israel?
Well, I reserve judgment until I've heard your plan, sir.
It is simplicity itself. At one time, Balaam worshipped the God of Israel. He was God's prophet, his representative. Naturally, then, Balaam is well acquainted with the rites and ceremonies of the Israelite God. He knows the nature and source of their God's power. Now, this knowledge, coupled with his powers of divination and sorcery, can bring about the end of Israel's supernatural power.
You say that this Balaam used to be God's prophet and representative.
That is exactly what I said.
Well, why isn't he now? What happened? Did Israel's God reject him? Desert him?
Balaam still claims to be God's chosen prophet. But my spies report otherwise. Balaam has apostatized. Contrary to God's commandment, Balaam covets. Greed and unholy ambition have caught up with him.
Greed. Oh, it's a marvelous agent of evil. It shall work to our advantage.
Exactly. Balaam loves money. For a price, he will do anything.
Even curse Israel?
Even curse Israel.
A very wise and clever solution to our dilemma.
Yes.
Yes.
So a delegation of the elders and princes of Moab and Midian were chosen to journey to Mesopotamia and offer Balaam personal gain in exchange for his services. Upon finding Balaam, the delegation lost no time in delivering to him the message of their king.
We are messengers from Moab and Midian.
Our king Balak sends his personal greetings.
Oh, well, I am duly impressed, yet entirely mystified. I lay claim to no renown. I have no abilities of worth. I am merely a lowly man living in peace. Why does the great Balak, king of Moab, send ambassadors to see me?
Ah, Balaam, sir, your fame as a sorcerer and magician has reached the four corners of the earth. We have need of your divinations and enchantments.
What he's trying to say, Balaam, is simply this. A great multitude of people have come up out of Egypt, and they're camped on our borders. They are potentially dangerous.
You speak of the Israelites.
Yes, the great hordes of Israelites, too numerous to count. Oh, they're dangerous, crafty, powerful.
And King Balak said to us, go find Balaam and say unto him, these Israelites are too mighty for me. Come therefore, I pray you, and curse these people for me.
Curse them? Curse Israel, me?
Well, they fight with supernatural powers. Why not us?
And Balaam, sir, my king realizes that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. You have that power, and that's why we're here.
And that's why we have chosen you to deliver us from the Israelites.
You flatter me.
Yet it is true, isn't it? You do have the power of divination and the ability to cast a curse on whomsoever you choose.
I don't wish to brag, but I do have a certain pride in my, talents. and I can do certain things that other people find useful and valuable.
Exactly.
Very discreet and well stated, babe.
Slave! Open that bag there and pour the contents out upon the table. You shall see, Balaam, just how valuable we consider your special talents. Beautiful, aren't they, Balaam? Diamonds, rubies, emeralds.
They're very costly. They're worth a king's ransom.
You're trying to bribe me?
Bribe you, Balaam? Why, such a thought is entirely foreign to our intention.
Oh, it didn't even enter our minds.
These jewels are yours, Balaam, as a gift.
No strings attached?
Why, of course not.
They're a gift, an outright gift from our king.
All right, I'll accept them. Thanks.
Slave, put the jewels back in the pouch.
I'll do it myself.
Oh, careful.
And, Balaam, you haven't heard the half. You think those jewels are valuable, and they are. But King Balak has something much more valuable and more satisfying than mere jewels. Yours for the asking.
All I have to do is curse the Israelites.
Why, my dear Balaam, you do my king an injustice. Just come to Moab. That's all the king asks. Come as a friend and an ally. And he will heap reward and honor upon you.
You will be exalted above all the princes and elders of Moab.
If I curse the Israelites.
Why, of course, Balaam, as a friend and ally, you would certainly want to do all in your power, wouldn't you, to protect your fellow Moabites from the invasions of a strange and foreign people?
I don't know.
You accepted the jewels.
You can have them back.
Now, Balaam, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. Did you, Prince Maybeck?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
The jewels are yours, Balaam, as a gift from King Balak. All my king wishes to know is, will you or will you not come to Moab as a friend and ally?
I can't curse Israel. I can't give you a definite answer until I have communicated with God and received his approval.
My king bade us get your answer and return immediately. Israel is even now camped on our borders, a constant threat to our... How long will it take to communicate with your God?
Tarry overnight. In the morning, I shall give you a definite reply.
You know very well, Balaam, that the Israelites are blessed by God. Anything you do or say will not change that, not in the slightest.
But, dear, those ambassadors...
God is on Israel's side, and as long as they remain true to him, he will remain on their side, and no adverse power on earth can prevail against them.
I didn't promise
you
them that
you profess obedience to the will of God, and at the same time, you hope to comply with the desires of Balaam.
Now, you have no right
to... You're flirting with temptation, Balaam. You have visions of grandeur. You're greedy. Those costly gifts and the prospect of honor in Moab have excited your greed to the point where you...
Now you listen to me. I am the man in this household. I will do as I please without interference from you.
Yeah.
For your information, I accepted those gifts on the basis that there were no strings attached, none whatsoever. And as for going to Moab and cursing the Israelites, I told the ambassadors that I would communicate with God and comply strictly with his instructions.
You don't think that God...
I think nothing. Only that I shall seek God's instructions and obey them.
Not if you can satisfy your mad desire for gain and honor without obeying
now,
him.
Now, woman, that's enough. Go and prepare food for our guests. They are princes and royalty, worthy of our best hospitality.
Yes, master.
During the night, a message from God came to Balaam.
Balaam, thou shalt not return to Moab with the ambassadors, neither shalt thou curse the Israelites, for they are blessed.
But I have already accepted the... He's gone. What'll I tell the ambassadors? I'm not going to admit that God refuses to let me curse Israel. There goes wealth and honor right out the window.
Disappointed and angry that his visions of gain and honor had been suddenly dispelled, Balaam was unable to sleep for the rest of the night.
All the wealth of Moab and Midian could be at my command. I could have honor above all men. Might even be next to the king himself.
In the morning, Balaam reluctantly dismissed the ambassadors, but he did not tell them exactly what the message was that he had received from God. Angry that his visions of gain and honor had suddenly vanished, he exclaimed,
"Get back to your own land, for the Lord refused to give me permission to go with you."
But what about cursing Israel? Did your God say anything about what
we... Get back to your own land. I have spoken.
I wonder if Balaam is merely holding out for a higher price.
Probably. He's a greedy one.
I suggest we don't even tell the king that Balaam said his God wouldn't let him come back with us.
Why not?
Because I doubt if it's true. I mean, I really believe that Balaam is holding out for a higher price. I doubt if he even asked his God for permission.
Balaam refused to come? Absolutely refuse?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Why?
Who can say?
He's a greedy man, Your Majesty.
You think he is expecting a greater reward for his services?
Could be, Your Majesty.
We have no choice. We'll concede to whatever terms he demands. Now go once again to Mesopotamia. Take with you more princes, court officers, more valuable gifts. We must secure Balaam's help.
So once again, ambassadors from Moab and Midian set out over the mountains and across deserts for Mesopotamia.
I have a suspicion that Balaam will accept these gifts and curse Israel.
No, I think he'll do anything for the high price we offer.
Greetings. Salutations to the great sorcerer Balaam. King Balak sends his personal greetings and well wishes.
And what brings you to Mesopotamia a second time?
We come bearing gifts from our king. See?
Beautiful.
They are the most beautiful jewels in all of Moab.
And the most valuable.
They're yours, Balaam. Take them.
Oh, such beauty and wealth is a gift to one so humble as I is unthinkable. Your king's price, cursing the Israelites?
My king sends an urgent message.
I thought so.
As a friend and ally, you understand?
The message?
My king commanded me to say to Balaam, let nothing, I pray you, hinder you from coming to me. I will promote you to very great honor and glory, and I will do whatsoever you say. Only come and curse these Israelites for me.
That's what I thought. I've already told you that I can't go to Moab. God won't permit it.
You may have anything you wish.
Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. But I do wish I could go, but I can't. I can't. I just can't.
Perhaps you can persuade God to change his mind.
Who do you think God is, a man? That he can be persuaded to change and... all right, I'll try. Remain until morning. I'll communicate with God during the night. Perhaps he will let me go.
Again, in the night season, a message from God came to Balaam.
If the ambassadors come and call you in the morning, you may rise up and go with them. But you shall say to the Israelites only that which I shall give you permission to say.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, now I can go to Moab. I'll become rich and famous, powerful.
Balaam. Balaam. Balaam, wake up.
What?
It's daylight. Time to get up.
Yeah. Oh, daylight. Oh, the break of a new day. A new life.
What?
A new day has dawned for us, my dear. A day of wealth and power, fame.
Are you awake?
Awake? Oh, yes, awake and sound of mind and body.
This is all beyond me.
No, it's simple, my dear. Last night, the Lord appeared to me and gave me permission to go to Moab with the ambassadors. Just think, I will be next to the king himself. I will command respect. Honor and glory shall be mine.
You are greedy, aren't you?
Oh, not at all. When opportunity knocks, I answer, that's all. Yeah, well, my dear, I'll arise and dress. You prepare breakfast, a breakfast fit for a king's right-hand man, me, and the ambassadors who shall attend me.
Ambassadors? What ambassadors?
Oh, the ones from Moab, of course. Now, woman, away with you. Get breakfast.
They aren't here.
Hail to Balaam, second in power only to the king. Yeah, who isn't here?
They've gone back to Moab.
The ambassadors?
Mm-hmm.
Gone back to Moab?
They left before daylight.
Well, you shouldn't have let them go.
I had nothing to do with it. They left without consulting me.
Oh, do you realize what you've done to me? You've spoiled everything. The Lord said that I could go with them only if they called me this morning. Now, they've gone and can't call me. Oh, and I've lost my chance to be wealthy and honored. All because of you. Why did you let them go?
I didn't. I told you.
Well, I'm not going to give up. I will get that rich reward anyway.
Balaam, I wish you'd stop and reconsider.
Reconsider? Opportunity knocks but once.
Balaam, please, listen.
I don't have time. I'm going to take off and catch up with those ambassadors.
Please.
All right, I'll listen. But hurry up or I won't be able to catch up with them.
Now. You used to be a faithful servant of the living God. You still claim to be. Mm. You profess great conscientiousness and integrity to the will of God.
Yes.
On the other hand, you're human, and to want riches and fame is natural. Mm. Now, it's awfully hard to turn your back on the rich rewards Balak offers. But with the ambassadors on their way back to Moab, every excuse for complying with the request of Balak has been removed. Temptation is gone. You're free.
Oh, you argue like a woman. I am going to Moab. Goodbye.
Balaam!
Expect me when you see me.
Taking the donkey upon which he was accustomed to ride, Balaam hastily set out on the journey to Moab.
Now get up there, get up, or we'll be late for the reward. Oh, maybe even now God has withdrawn his permission for me to go to Moab. Get up, get up! Oh, just think, I'll have everything that I've ever dreamed of. Riches, power, fame. Get up, get up!
Suddenly, and without warning, the donkey turned aside from the highway into a field.
You stupid donkey, get back on the path!
With cruel blows, Balaam beat the donkey.
Get back on the path, you dumb beast! Now get back there! Oh, you won't, eh? Well, I'll show you. Take that! And that!
Finally, the donkey was brought back onto the path, and once again they continue on their journey toward Moab. The way became rough and strewn with rocks. Finally, the way led through a narrow pathway between two stony walls. Again, the donkey veered to the side as if to avoid an obstacle in the pathway, crushing Balaam's foot against the stony wall.
Oh, you stupid beast! Crushing my foot against the stone? Now, what's the matter with you anyway? Oh, you act as if there's someone in the way stopping you. Well, I'll stop you with this.
Beating the donkey unmercifully, Balaam forced the donkey to proceed.
Yeah, now that's better. And don't stop again or I'll beat you even more. And hurry along now, get up. I must catch those ambassadors. Seems like everybody and everything is conspiring to keep me from getting to Moab. Get up, get up. But I won't be cheated out of my reward. Get up, get up.
Once again, in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or the left, the donkey suddenly stopped and fell trembling to the ground. Balaam's rage was unbounded, and with a staff he beat the donkey more cruelly than before.
3 times you've delayed me. I've had enough. I'll beat you to death.
What have I done to you? Why have you struck me these 3 times?
Because you made sport of me. I wish I had a sword. I'd kill you.
Am I not your donkey? Have you not ridden me ever since I was a young donkey? Until this very day? Have I ever made sport of you before?
No, you're talking. You can't talk. You're just a dumb animal.
The Lord has opened the mouth of the donkey that she should talk with the voice of a man.
The donkey? And now you, an angel?
Why have you struck your donkey these 3 times?
An angel, standing in the pathway with a drawn sword.
Behold, I have come forth to withstand you, because your way is perverse before the Lord. And the donkey saw me and turned aside before me these 3 times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have slain you and let her live.
Oh, angel, I have sinned, for I did not know that thou didst stand in the road against me. Oh, now, therefore, if it is evil in thy sight, I will go back again.
Go with the ambassadors from Moab, but know that you shall speak only the word which I bid you.
Balaam had had a mad desire to slay the donkey upon which he rode. He claimed to be a magician. He was on his way to pronounce a curse upon a whole people with the intent to paralyze their strength. Yet, he had not had enough power to slay even a poor, dumb animal, his donkey. Continuing on toward Moab, Balaam's thoughts raced through his mind.
I owe my life to this donkey, and I beat her unmercifully. I claim to be a prophet with the ability to see the future, yet I was so blinded by covetousness and ambition that I couldn't see an angel in the pathway, plainly visible to my donkey. Greed and covetousness blinds a person to the truth of life, to the beauties of mercy, love, benevolence.
So Balaam continued on to Moab. The king of Moab, being informed of the approach of Balaam, went out with a large retinue to the borders of his kingdom to receive him.
What took you so long to get here? Did I not offer you rich rewards? Did you think that I am unable to fulfill my promise to promote you to high honor?
Oh, king, now that I am here, I have not the power of myself to say anything against Israel. The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak.
I have every confidence in you, my man. Come, let us be on our way, Prophet Balaam.
Make way for His Majesty Balak, mighty king of Moab, and his guest, Prophet Balaam. Bow the knee.
With great pomp, the king, with chief dignitaries of his kingdom, escort Balaam to the place of the heathen god Baal, from which the prophet can view the orderly camp the Israelites spread out in the plains below. How little do the Israelites know of what is taking place so near them? How little do they know of the care of God extended over them by day and by night? Now Balaam speaks to Balak.
Build for me here 7 altars, and provide for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams.
Carefully, Balak follows the instructions given him. When at last all has been made ready.
Now, King Balak, you stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go to one of the high places. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. Whatever he shows me, I will tell you.
The nobles and princes of Moab stand with the king beside the sacrifice. All around them is the eager multitude, watching for the return of the prophet. At last, he is coming. The people await almost breathlessly for the words that will paralyze forever that strange power that protects the Israelites.
The king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the tops of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his.
Balaam! Balaam! What have you done to me? I have gone to all this trouble to bring you to Moab to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them!
And Balaam confessed to Balak that he came with the purpose of cursing Israel. But the words he had uttered were directly contrary to the sentiments of his heart. He was constrained to pronounce blessings, while his soul was filled with cursing.